They said it. I took it. So we're on the top of Lamed Aleph of it. Some interesting Gemara's here. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Avahu, right? Is this what you guys prepared?
Yeah.
Okay. Kigon Avimi Bari, Kai Mitzvahs, Kibbutz. So like Avimi, my son, was really Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim. Why? Chamisha b'ni samchi havel Avimi b'chaye Aviv. So he had five sons. That's Micha?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In who were alive, and when his were born, and when his father was still alive. V'chi havel asa Rabbi Avohu, and when Avohu came to the door. And Kari Avav, and he called to the door when he like came to knock down the door or whatever. Roed ve'ozel, he ran upasachle and he opened it for him. Ve'amar in, adamatoy hasam, and he called. Yeah, I'm coming until he got there. In other words, he didn't. Rashi explains. When Ravohu knocked on the door, on the gate, so even though he had five kids who could have all equally opened the door for him, but he specifically wanted to involve himself in Kibbutz Avayim, even though it wasn't necessary, it wasn't like it was needed, because anyone could have done it, but he wanted to subordinate himself to Av. Right, in, iftach, I'll open it. Okay? Fine. And then it says, Yom Achad, one day, this is further story of Avimi's level. Yom Achad, Amar Lei, Ashkian Maya. He said, get me a drink of water. Ad Aisi Lei, Nimna. So, by the time he brought it to him, to Ravohu, he fell asleep. He dozed off. Right, he fell asleep. So here the father asked Avimi to get him a drink, and the time he got there, he was asleep, so he didn't do. So Gachin, he like sat down or went down. So when he basically stayed there until he woke up. Right? He waited there, waiting for him, until his father woke up. Istaya Milsei, he had help. He had help in the matter. Vidarish Avimi, and Avimi was Doresh in the time when he was sitting there. Mizmar La'asaf. Okay? The parak of Mizmar La'asaf. Okay, in the meantime, while he was waiting, he had great insight into this thing. Okay, it's a funny story, right? Okay, so Rashi's, and Rashi's here. So, Estaya Milsa, but Odo Gachon Lefanov, while he was waiting there, Shehaven b'medrash mizmar echad she was ever telling. So he understood. Shloim b'medrash lachem. So he had the darsha. So he understood medrash and tehillim that he was not able to understand the prior to that point. Okay, and because of somehow because of this, he had some sort of a help, and he was able to because this great feat of Kibbutz Av that he, while he was waiting there, he was able to to figure out pshat in this thing. Yesh Mefarshim, and others want to say that it's not the whole parak of this parak, just the random parak and tell him that he understood, but Shemikra Zelavado Darash. It really means this very pasuk. Mizmar La'asaf. It's a song to Asaf. Elokim, Bo Goyim Benach La'asecha. God, the Goyim came into your into Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Kino La'asaf Mibayle. It shouldn't have been a Mizmar. It's like a happy song. It should have been a dirge. A Kina. V'darash kach, and this is what he was doing. Shamar asav shira al shekilo kosh baruch chamaso beitzim avanim shebevesa. That Hashem basically took out his anger on the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash. And we toch kach hoser plate to Bisrael, and because of the fact that God's anger was taken out on the sticks and stones, therefore there was leftovers. Klaiso was saved. Shalmalei kach lo nishtayim v'sonis el sarad. As if not, then basically Klal Yisrael would have been totally destroyed. There would have been left over, a remnant from Klal Yisrael. So, you know, Mison Yisrael, I think, is a reference to Klal Yisrael. I think it's like a euphemism. They don't want to say Yisrael, but it's V'cheinu Omer, Kilo Hashem Chamaso, V'yotzis Eish B'tzion. So Hashem destroyed, and the fire went in Tzion. Okay. So he learned that part. So that it means, that why did he say, why is he happy? It's not a happy time, it's a sad time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He said, no, it says he was happy. Asaf was happy because really is happy that God really could have destroyed Klal Yisrael. Really, Klal Yisrael was deserving of being wiped out. But instead, God, like it's Midas Rachamim, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and that allowed Klal Yisrael to exist. Somehow it seems like they, through the Mishnah being destroyed, they was able to bring them towards Tshuva or towards whatever, and to allow them to be able to exist in a proper state. Okay, so that's something that he's very happy about. So even though you would have thought this was a bad thing, but Asaf really sang a Shira about it, or a Mizmar about it. Okay, and basically what's the point? This thing was that which Avimi figured out while he was in the state of waiting for his father. His father fell asleep while he was, he went to get him a drink, and his father fell asleep. So he waited there until he woke up. So in the meantime, while he was waiting, so he figured out this job. Okay? Okay. Any comments, questions? Ask a question. What's the connection between his kavod and figuring out this thing? Right, figuring out anything. I mean, what's the one having to do with it? I mean, how does this work? Right, why do you have to wait there? Why do you need to put it down? Sounds like a good plan. Put it down. Good question. Is he chayiv? Is this a chayiv, or is this just saying this is a high level thing? This is a very high level. Well, what does it sound like? It sounds like it's a high level. I mean, it sounds that way. It's saying it's like my son is really mekayim the mitzvah. I mean, it sounds like there's the basic mitzvah, but then there's like the full appreciation of the parents and the fullest level of the mitzvah. It sounds like that. I mean, it sounds the way he's presenting it. You know, like if your father knocks at the door, you have to make sure that no one else gets the door. You're not allowed to let your sons go get it. I mean, you have to run and make sure the door's going to get opened. He doesn't need it to. No, he doesn't need you to open it. You know, someone else is going to open it. So I don't know what he's mechliyav to. It sounds like it's just saying is that he had a certain appreciation of his father, of the idea of kibbutz avim, that he went to such an extent. Mizmar Lasef, is it just saying that you get insight in general, or is there something specific about this particular thing that, you know, this particular thing which is Dorish? I mean, you could argue that that's really the two Peshatim in Rashi, because Rashi's first Peshat just says what is Lasef. He says it's a parak and tell him that he didn't understand until then. This is his first Peshat. But his second Peshat, he goes into the particular. He says, no, it's this Pasuk, and it's points and he explains exactly the idea was in that, you know, in that case of why it's a mizmar, not a kina, you know. So it sounds like his first pshat was just a general idea. It's Rashi says it's a mizmar and tehillim that he didn't understand that prior to that point. It sounds like whatever, generic. Right. Sounds like his second pshat is he could argue that it really means this.
And if that's the case, the question is, yeah, Rashi, that you, right, no matter what, how does that work?
Yeah, how does that work? Well, how does either one work, right? How does it work? He gets insight, but insight, what is this particular, right? Insight you can see, but this particular. And that's shot in the thing. That's just shot in the why can't you put on the table? Because part of getting him a drink is there's physical needs and there's psychological needs. It's true, you put him down the table, he'll have the drink. Physically, he'll be nourished, he'll have the drink. But there's a psychological aspect in serving someone. You ask you for a drink, you give it to him. If someone you personally give it to him, there's a certain psychological satisfaction of someone giving him the thing. So it's true, it's on the table, it's true, it's there, and he has it, and he ends up having the drink, but that there's a dimension in the kavod, which is in the taking care of the father, which is lacking. So it's saying is he wanted to go for the highest level of the kavod. The highest level is that he b'dafka gives it to him. That creates a certain feeling for the father. There's a thing, that someone's giving you a drink. That's if it's on the table, oh, I guess I have a drink. There we go. And you may be able to deduce it, but it's not the same thing psychologically. So he was going for the kavod, he's going for the highest level possible. I think that makes sense. I'm saying if the father were awake, of course he could just put on the table. It doesn't matter. Whatever, he put his hand, put on the table. That's the way it is. That's what it is. Right, and as you show your father, you care about his needs. You're there, you take care of his needs. He wants a thing, you just put on the table, it doesn't have that effect. So it's true, even though he didn't ask for that, presumably just needed the water, but that's an aspect of the kavod. Okay, so seriously, this is another good point, is that you see here, so he's doing kavod at the highest level. He wasn't happy just to do kavod at the low, in a basic level, so the highest level. So, because his recognition of the kavod shemayim, right, because the fact that he reflects shemayim. But it says there's another facet, is that, see, a person, kavod in any mitzvah, has a certain psychological, emotional satisfaction. A person does a mitzvah, he feels good. He gets father gives him for a drink, he feels good. He gives them the drink. You know? I mean, a certain thing. You're doing, you're taking care of your father. You're doing a certain, in actions and in certain mitzvahs, it provides a person with a certain emotional satisfaction, besides for the fact that it's the right thing to do. But a person feels good, he feels right, a person feels like he's doing the right thing, you know? But the action of sitting there waiting for 2 hours, you know, whatever, is like, emotionally, it's not a very satisfying type of thing. Because you're not doing anything. I mean, like, it's not, so he's just, in that state, basically, the father's asleep and he's just sitting there. That state of mind is, you know, so you already got him the drink. So emotionally, he's happy, satisfied, you know what I mean? But he's recognizing, because of the highest level of kavod, there's this extra dimension. But the that state of mind and the moment of sitting there waiting is not an emotion. You don't get to feel good about yourself that you're sitting. You feel like, on the contrary, you feel like you're wasting your time. What am I doing here? I already gave him the drink. What do I, you know? So it's a state of mind which is basically he would have gotten the same satisfaction he just gave him put the drink down. But because of his recognition of the thing, he was took the pain. Our average person, we can't do that. I mean, we can just sit there for 2 hours. You know, you can imagine the state. I mean, what am I going to do? I can sit here, wait till he wakes up. But because he realized kavod, he basically did something which was emotionally very difficult and emotionally an unsatisfying type of a thing. Because he realized, and I think also it's that it's like subordinating the self. So the person's gaiva doesn't want, you know, just sitting there waiting around. Like, the person has a lot of things to do. I don't want to just sit there and wait. But it's subordinates the self also to a large degree. So it seems to me is that in that state of mind where he was like totally, he was totally involved in keeping up on it, so to speak, l'shma. Like, it didn't have, it wasn't mixed with the emotional satisfactions. On the contrary, it was against his emotions. So that state of mind was a state where he was, which is appropriate for a person to gain insight. It was in that state of mind where he was totally involved in, and it's not just any mitzvah, it's because it's kvod shemayim, and the mitzvah kibud avim is because of recognition of shemayim. So he's in this state of mind where his recognition of kvod shemayim to the negation of his emotions, so that state of mind is a state of mind which is suitable for insight. Insight into specifically into Yedias Hashem in some sort of way. I mean, it's about about the Mizmor Tehillim. I mean, it specifically seems like the insight is when you're directed towards Shamayim, but with including a negation of your emotions. I mean, negation of your emotions. And that also, I mean, without going into too much, it seems like the specific thing which Rashi quotes is related, because see, the thing is, the korban is something which emotionally is something which is very painful, and your ego. I mean, it's the biggest catastrophe. I mean, the korban. But basically, the siyata says mizmar. So a person emotionally can't say, "Well, I'm happy about the korban." It's the most devastating thing emotionally. It's tragedy. But basically, to be able to see joy in the thing is basically turning and reflecting on the Midas Kodesh Baruch Hu involved in it, and realizing that really Klal Yisrael is deservant of the Midas Adin. Really, was that's it? We failed. Klal Yisrael failed, and that's it. We should be wiped out. But Midas Rachman is that insofar as we could simply lose Mikdash, doesn't mean his anger was taken out on the Mikdash. Is that? That itself is like an onesh das that we'll lose the mikdash and we'll be able to reflect that we don't have the perfect situation. As we could not exist with mikdash because Klal Yisrael was chotem and you can't be chotem with the mikdash. But basically, God allowed us to have like a secondary plan. It's basically we'd lose the mikdash, but we'd live an existence in galus. But at least we'd continue to exist and we'd have another plan like that. That's Midas Rachman. So what he's able to do is to get out of the emotion of the situation and to reflect on it in an objective light and consider it insofar as Midas Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's manifested through this, in Schar V'Onesh, what can you learn from this thing? So it could be that the state of mind of removal from your personal emotions and reflecting Kvod Shemayim is a state of mind where this particular type of insight is facilitated. And so the insight is one where you could look at something which is harsh, very strong, hits you strong emotionally, but you're analyzing it in an objective, removed type of a fashion. You know what I mean? So it could be that state of mind was an appropriate one for him to be able to get this particular insight. You know what I mean?
Also, one more thing.
For sure, it's a state of mind itself. Even if Avimi would have done this before without this case happening, it's that state of mind itself where his emotion, where he's conquering his emotions and he's reflecting on the kibud avayim. Because I'm sure every second his emotions would be playing with him, saying, "Eh, come on, get out of here." You know what I mean? But But it's because his recognition of Shemayim was strong to the negation of everything else, that state of mind is really the appropriate one to be able to gain that insight. Right. I mean, he demands that the situation itself brings that out.
Right. And you can see that
the emotions and the story, the event, causes the emotions to come to the fore, and then you have to negate them. So that otherwise they're there in like a latent kind of a form, so it's not you can't conquer them in the same kind of way. So when the conflict brings them up, and then you have to decide against them and to follow Chachma, that incident itself puts you in a state where you're ready to gain from it. That's true. The kid running to the door also. His sons could have done it, but he wanted to do it. He wanted to subordinate himself to the father, because that's an action of perfection. That action itself perfects a person, because it causes a person to subordinate his ego. We're not doing Tos. Tos is another pshat. It's Tzarchian. Tos is another pshat about the Bnei Korach. Amalei Rav Yaakov Aravua. Labaye. Kigon Ana. De Adi Asina mi Bei Rav Abba. What about me? By the time I come back from the Bei Rav Abba, Madli Li Kasa. They'd pour me a kos. I'm sorry. Adi Asina Bei Rav. By the time I come home from the Bei Rav, from the Beis Medrash, Abba Madli Kasa, my father lowers a cup for me, V'ima Mazgalei, and my mother fills it up for me. Hey Chayavid, what should I do? What should I do? Should I accept this servitude that my parents are doing for me? They decided they want to serve me. So what am I supposed to do? Am I allowed to take it? Am I not allowed to take it? So Amar Lei, may Imcha Kibel, may Avoch Losa Kabel. From your mother you should take it, from the father you shouldn't. The Kivan de Bar Torah, since he's a Ben Torah, Cholsha Daite. His mind is going to have a Chalisha Sadas. Okay, his mind is going to be a weekend. He's going to feel bad. Okay, he's going to feel bad. So is there a Rashi here? Keep going, Anna. Shani Ahov La'avi V'yakir L'imi. So I'm very beloved to my parents. Okay? V'osin lizos, and they do this for me. Ma'asa, what should I do? Kivon de'event bartoru chol shodayte, im tekabel mimenu avoda. If I accept avoda from them, then he's gonna feel bad. Question, why is he gonna feel bad? Why is he gonna feel bad? Or why is the mother not gonna feel bad? Or what's, right, how does him being a ben Torah have to do with make him feel bad? I mean, what's he gonna feel bad? Why, what does that have to do with it? Yeah, maybe he wouldn't feel bad, he's Ben Torah. He's doing the thing. What does that have to do with it? Yeah, what is Ben Torah going to make him feel bad? And look, he offered. It's not like you're asking him to do it. He offered. He doesn't want to do it. He feels bad. Don't offer. It's not like I'm bossing him around. He's offering to me. You're depriving your father. Obviously, he wants to do it. I mean, he is psychologically, he has a free will. I mean, he decides to do it. Apparently, psychologically, he wants to do it. So if he wants to do it, why is he doing it? So on the contrary, you're turning him down. It means you're depriving him of his pleasure of being able to serve you. Funny, I don't know if I didn't tell you about this, but the Tosfos Riazaken on the side there, you say, the very top of the page. Imcha kibel, dehol v'hu rotze bekach, ritzona, zehu kvoda. Since that's what she wants, that is kavod for her. And that's the point Danny was saying. It's on the contrary, the mother wants to serve you, that's kavod for her. That is kavod. Kavod is its opposite. She wants to serve you, by you letting her serve you, that is being mechaveder. That is being mechaveder. Right? That's the question. Alpha pi shalo tekab nevucha shuchacham yeshlacha shefam yelochal. Chalishas dasal zah. So that makes the question even stronger. I mean, that's the question you're asking. It seems to be that should be covered to listen to them. So the father wants to do it. So he wants to do it. So why are you stopping him? Iri here, the Meiri says interesting. He says, V'imoyah ha-bein talmid chacham, V'rotzu aviv ima l'shamsho, Yikabel me'imo, V'al yikabel me'aviv. Shemekimashu ben Torah, Yishu chalishas adas. So he has a case a little bit different. He says the case is that the son's a talmid chacham. And that's why his mother and father want to serve him. You know what I mean? As opposed to the way Rashi learned, I think the Ran also learns that it's because they loved him a lot. He's very beloved to them. But Rashi, the way Meiri learns the case is that the reason why they were serving him was because he was a great Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham, so that's why they want to serve him. It's interesting. Also, the Ran says, another thing the Ran says is, first of all, he says like Rashi, he says that because he's very beloved to them. Rabbi Yosef Ahav Lavav. Right. So, but then it says, the Ran just says, "Amihu only Avin Machbid B'Davar Harbe Yikaba." He says the father is very insistent, then you accept it. And it doesn't mean not allowed to. If the father says no, you got to take it. You know, then even by the father, he's saying. He's saying first take. You don't take it from the father. But if you see that he really, really means it, then you would take it. You know what I mean? I guess it's interesting. I'm just saying it's interesting. Yeah, let me just try to explain to me at least before it's easier, I think.
Yeah.
I think what Michael was saying before is good, that the father, if he's a Batam Chacham, sometimes you could do something because that's what you want emotionally, or sometimes you could do it because you feel like that's the right thing to do. You know? Even though emotionally it's painful. So the thing is that if the kid's Tam Chacham and the father is a Ben Torah, so the father is Ben Torah, Ben Torah realizes that you have to be Mechabe Tam Chacham. So he may not want to do it emotionally. He doesn't like it. Because he has to serve the guy. But he realizes it's the right thing to do. So what it's saying is that there's a reason to suspect that the father's doing it out of a sense of that he has to do it. But it's emotionally painful for him. So it's saying is that then you can't take it from him because he's not doing it. His emotions covered his emotions that you want to. You have to deal with his emotions, and you have to, you know, take care of his needs. And here, really, it's something that's going to causing him distress. He's not happy about it, but he's doing it because he has to do it. He's a Ben Torah. Ben Torah knows he gives mechabe tam chacham. He has to do it. So therefore, there's a reason by the father. If the assumption is he's not doing it because he wants to, because why should he want to? But the mother, you're saying, is you assume that the mother's doing it because she's not Ben Torah, she's just doing it because she wants to do it. She wants to do it. She's emotional. She wants to do it. You know what I mean? But that's what the Ron says, is that if he's insistent, so that shows he really does emotionally want it. Because if he's doing it out of a sense of responsibility, so the second you tell him, nah, don't worry about it, so then that's it. There's no responsibility anymore. You're machal. But you see, if he still wants to do it, it shows that he really is not doing it because of a responsibility, but he's doing it because psychologically he really is. takes happiness and takes pleasure in doing this. Oh, so then on the contrary, then it'll be kavod to take it from him. You know what I mean? Right. So it could be that's why the Ron made the Meiri made the case that specifically it's because he's Talmud Chacham, because then you could work in this, the fact that he's doing it doesn't reflect that he's emotionally happy about doing it. You know what I mean? But according to Rashi and the Ram, that the case is really that he's just he's doing it because they're doing it because they love him and they want to do it for him. So it's much more difficult because they want to do it. They're not doing it because of any responsibility. They're doing it because they love him. And that's their emotions. So that's shouldn't that be covered for their emotions? Deal with their emotions. We can think about this for tomorrow, but let's go see the facts for the next thing. The next case is a very interesting case. There's Rav Tarfon, Havi Leahu Ima. Okay, so you gotta have the facts here, it's a little bit tricky. But Rav Tarfon had a mother. The Chol Imas Davi Bois Lamesik Leporia. Oh, I'm sorry. This is I thought this was the next case. I'm sorry. Let's just read it, okay? So this isn't really the case I'll do there, but you know what, let's just jump down a little bit. We'll do this also for tomorrow, but this isn't the case which I really want to be my in. And the case I want to be my in is the case of Ravasi. Okay? Ravasi. We'll do these. We'll try to do these tomorrow. But it says, Ravasi, Havileahi Imazakena. You see that? Ravasi, Havileahi Imazakena. He had this mother who was old. Amra Le Bina Tachshita. She said, I want jewelry or whatever, right? So Avadol, he made it for her. Bina Gavra. He says, I want a husband. He says, I'll look for you. I'll try to find one. He says, oh, but you know, Gavra, the Shaper Kavasach. No, I want a man who's as good as you. As good as you, Ravasi. So basically, Ravasi realized this isn't going to happen. He's not going to be able to satisfy her desire here. So Shavka, so he left her. He also allowed her to Israel, and he went there to Israel. Okay? Basically, so he's not going to satisfy her needs. So might as well not be there to tell her no. Might as well just skip town. Okay, skip down. So Shama Dika Ozla Abasre. So he heard that she was following him. So also like I made the Rav Yochanan. Now we're like, how lots is Meretz Chutzlart? Could I go back there? Amar Le Likros Ima Mahu. And it was, could I go back to greet her? So let's see Rashi. I mean, look at Rashi and the rest of the case. I mean, the rest of the case is a little tricky. But you get Rashi. But basically, this question, this case, the beginning part is the main part. Is that basically you see that he just left. He left town. So why did he leave town? He basically said, look, I can't take care of her anymore, so I'm going to leave. So this brings in the question. You'll see there's Raman Ravid on this case. This is the nursing home question. Is if a person gets to a point where they feel like they can't take care of the parents anymore because of whatever, they lose their mind to whatever degree, and it's not practical, they can't do it, anymore. So do you have a right to give them over to someone else to take care of them? So it's the Rambam from this Gemara says, you do. Ravid just says, no, you don't, and he has to deal with this Gemara. So you look at the Rambam and the Ravid, and the Ran, they think it has an Ashkoza, but there's a Ran who actually comments on the, defends the Rambam. But you can look at that, okay? But so much that the other Gemara is in between here. But they're quick, I don't want to get bogged down, you know. This is the next, you know, this is the real thing. What?